May God open our hearts and our ears that we may hear and respond to his word to us this morning. Amen. Please sit down. Now I know this isn't going to be big enough, but I wanted to show you to get a flavour of what I saw a couple of weeks ago walking down a street in Washington. There were these, in people's gardens, were planted these black signs with white writing. I'll just show this side. Can't see it. You don't have to read it, but there you are. Imagine this sign. And as you go along, you see another one, and another one, and another one. And you realise something's happening here. This is different. Something's going on. I felt I was reading the words of a crusade, because these were the words of Martin Luther King. And if anybody was watching the royal wedding, I don't know if many were, Michael Curry was quoting Martin Luther King many, many times. So what sort of things were being said? Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. One. Another one. The life of a nation is secure only while the nation is honest, truthful and virtuous. That was actually Frederick Douglass, who actually has a street named after in Harlem, I saw. Another one from Martin Luther King. We must live together as brothers or perish together as fools. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And there were many more. And the one that was picked up by my favourite author of the New Testament, Tom Wright, who's written another book about Paul, and he was doing an interview in a magazine. And he said in that quote, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter." That's quite hard-hitting, isn't it? Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter. He'd been flagging up, had Tom Wright, his warning from decades past that unless the nations of the world recognized that their roots of their society is based in the Judeo-Christian heritage that we have, we are heading for real trouble. Anything to do with human rights laws, provision for housing for those in need, our very own NHS, are all based on that heritage. And now we, as a secular society, seem to be more focused on Epicurean ideas than the common good. Epicurean, that is, the pursuit of pleasure, the highest ideal, self-interest supreme. Greed is good. Who said that? The Wolf of Wall Street. If anybody saw the film, I thought it was a bit too heavy for me. Okay, so we fast forward to Mark, where Jesus said, "If the kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided itself, that house will not be able to stand." We see disunity in families or even on the world stage. The result often leads to strife or to war. But since World War II, Europe has largely learned the benefits of sacrificing self-interest to the pursuit of unity. I noted that the founding fathers of the then called EEC were themselves Christians, and that framed the focus of their vision of unity. So 70 years of peace, but now we see movements to break up that unity of purpose, and we hear voices calling for the prioritization of the desires of the nation over and above making common cause between nations. I think that these are difficult and testing times. And if we continue down this path to disunity, I fear for the future. Yes, it's natural to put family first when we fear the attack of an enemy. But remember what Martin Luther King said about an enemy? Love is the only force that can defeat that kind of enemy. So when we fail to reach out to others in brotherhood and sisterhood, we stoke animosity, we stoke fear, we stoke distrust. We need to follow a new path. We need to forge and strengthen bonds of unity. We need an encourager to point us in the right direction. And Paul in Corinthians finds encouragement in Christ himself. So why was Paul writing to the Corinthians again? Something had happened, something terrible. And we feel his pain in the very opening lines of that letter. Because in this letter he goes down deeper into the sorrow and hurt of what to do about it than he does anywhere else. He makes it very clear that what Jesus' death and resurrection means to us, his people. Paul recognizes earlier on in the letter that we are weak vessels. We are jars of clay. We make mistakes. We become weary as we stagger along the road to salvation. We begin to give up the effort. But we must continue to proclaim not only ourselves and our needs, but to proclaim Christ as Lord and be the slaves of those that we serve in Christ, says Paul. Thus, when we succeed in proclaiming Christ in the way we live our lives, we reveal that treasure of our faith within our fragile jars. Jars of clay, the fragile clay of our sometimes feeble faith. Paul knew affliction, but was not crushed. He was perplexed, but not driven to despair. He was persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. The result was effective witness, so that others could live. In spite of all that I have suffered, said Paul, I have held fast to my faith in Christ. He knew that God had raised Jesus from the dead. He knew that God will raise us from the dead, bring us into the presence of God. Thus, in spite of trials and tribulations, we recognize that they are passing phases of life. We don't lose heart. As we journey on through this world, through this good earth, we know that our outer nature is wasting away, but our inner nature is being renewed day by day. I find that encouraging. But I want to make an important point here. When we are in the thick of it, experiencing disaster, grief, or even war, this is not the time to be offered or to offer pious platitudes, because in a sense it's too late for that. So when? When do we help equip ourselves and our fellow travellers for the faith testing times ahead? When is the time to put on the armour of God and all that, the best, those belts and breastplates we read about? When we are in a good place. For example, I was on holiday recently. I clambered to a viewpoint on a mountaintop peak which looked out to the verdant Shenandoah Valley far below. The view was beautiful. There were green fields and tall grain silos testifying to the richness of the land. And tucked into a green wood was a little white church. My inner self, my spirit, my soul, if you like, was filled with the peace and love of God. For me, I do experience God in the beauty of creation more particularly, I think, than anywhere else. Maybe I recalled a passage from Scripture, I can't remember, but I return to the day, the fray, the battle of life, feeling refreshed and equipped. I had put on that armour of God. I had laid a few more bricks on the foundations on the rock of my faith in Christ. So if that happens to us, when disaster strikes, perhaps, or testing times, as it did for Paul, as it happens today in our daily lives, in Horsham weeks, when we experience things we rather wish we didn't, then we can remain standing, firm, on firm foundations. There may be wobbly times, times of diminution of faith, a dimming of the light. The jar of clay may crack, but it won't crumble. In spite of all this, we stand. The faith that we have is the faith that we declare by standing. We know that God raised Jesus from the dead and will raise us also from the dead. Christ will be our King. who will lead us. Lead us all into the presence of God. Jesus asked, therefore, that we live no longer for ourselves, but for him. We are to continue to live in unity, striving for unity between our families, between our community, between or within our nation, and also between nations. I think we're living in a time of potential conflict. So raising prayers to Almighty God must be our great work. Day in, day out, we pray for peace, we pray for unity. During our day at work, at home, in the community, in the letters we write to those in authority, or the great work that we feel personally called to do, we work for reconciliation. Why? All this is from God, says Paul, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are to work hard to be ambassadors for peace, ambassadors for Christ. To repeat my quote, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter. So, look about you. Rejoice in the burgeoning hedgerows, the lush green grass, the glorious canopy of trees on the stately towers of tree trunks. See God at work in this annual renewal of nature. Ask for the grace of God to empower us and our nations to renew our national and international lives. Amen.